continue in that study this morning. It's a study that's titled Simon Peter, an Apostle of Christ, and we're in our fifth study. In our previous studies of the Lord's Apostle, Simon Peter, we have been looking at the teachings, the doctrine that Peter was learning. He was learning of who this one called Jesus is. He was learning that Jesus had the power to fulfill what he said he would do. And to prove that, he was healing people all around him. People that were blind, people that had leprosy, people that couldn't walk. Bringing people back to life after death, raising the dead. Our Lord did so many miracles that you couldn't, all the books that we have, even in today's world, could not hold them all. We have been looking at the teachings, the doctrines of who this one Jesus is, what he came to do. He came to save sinners. Peter was given the realization. It was revealed to Peter that he was a sinner. When Peter saw what the Lord had done with the fishes, filling up the boats with it, what did Peter do? He went to his knees in front of the Lord and he said, "Depart from me." Not because he didn't want God with him, as the Pharisees said, or as the men who lost all their swine. They wanted God to, our Lord Jesus, to depart because he was taken away from their pocketbook. But Peter's words were this, "Depart from me, for I am a sinner." Peter's words were showing his reverence for God as being a sinner before a holy God. He knew that he was unworthy to be in the presence of this man called Jesus. So our Lord was teaching him that. And then our Lord went on to teach other things in part 4 and so on. He was teaching Peter what he had came to do and where he would be after he accomplished his task here on earth. He went about showing his power openly, yet many would not see him for who he was. No, in fact, many are blinded by self-righteousness and most of all by their own pride. Peter was learning the things of God because God the Father was revealing these things to his heart by the works of the Holy Spirit. Many saw those very same miracles. Many saw everything that was going on. But our Lord said at one point in the book of John, didn't he? He says, "You don't hear me because you're not my sheep." Isn't that what he said? Peter heard. Just as you and I hear God's word. When we look into God's word, we see the truths in these very things, don't we? This is Christ, God the Father, revealing his truths to our hearts. That's the same thing he's doing with Peter. That's the same thing he does with all of his people. "Flesh and blood hath not revealed this, but my Father who art in heaven," our Lord said. "All whom the Father giveth him shall be taught of him and by him." I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 9 again, please. And let's look in on what our great God is teaching next. Matthew chapter 9. Let's begin at verse 35. "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples," here we go. Here's our Lord teaching to his disciples, and Peter's right there along with them, "The harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." In our Friday night Bible study, of those of you who can attend on a regular basis, you'll know that we have our prayer session. And in our prayer session, do we not close with that prayer session? mentioning that we want to continue to pray for all of God's preachers. Pray that the Lord will continue to raise up ministers. Pastor Gene started saying this about 10 or 15 years ago. You know, I'm just not sure how long I'm going to be around. Pray that the Lord will raise up ministers among us. I continue to pray that very same prayer. I don't know how long the Lord will have me here. We don't know how long the Lord will have Brother Don Fortner going around. We know that Henry Mahan doesn't have a lot of time left. He was, for those of you who aren't aware, he fell and broke his hip last week, right after Gene and Judy saw him. They had a really good visit with him last Sunday after services. And Brother David Edmondson called Pastor Gene on Wednesday and mentioned that Henry Mahan had fallen and they don't expect him to come back from this fall. It was a pretty bad break and he's not going to be able to heal from this. So, back to what I'm saying. We want to continue to pray that the Lord will raise up ministers. Whether it be here in Rescue or in Sacramento or in Marysville or wherever. Wherever the Lord will need somebody to preach his gospel, they will be brought up. We can count on that. Let us continue to pray for the men that are sent of God. And now is the time of harvest. Today is the day of salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Let's continue in chapter 10, verse 1, shall we? And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first is Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebedeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth, and he commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preaching, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out the devils, freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town that ye shall enter, inquire who is it worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if thou be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house, and of the days... Out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than it would be for that city. Don Fortner wrote this. He says in Matthew 10 is a chapter of Holy Scripture that ought always to be read with a peculiar solemnity. In these 42 verses, we have the first ordination sermon ever preached. Those being ordained and set apart for the work of the gospel ministry are the 12 apostles. The ordination preacher is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God. The solemn charge here is given by Christ to the first gospel preachers of the New Testament era. He says the charge he gives them is to all who are sent of God to preach what? Preach the gospel. Preach the good news. Tell people that Christ came to save sinners. These men were called by Christ first. First, they were called to follow him. Then they were called to be his messengers. And the call of every disciple of Christ is exactly the same. The Holy Spirit teaches us that our election is in Christ and our redemption by him is made manifest by his call. He saved us and called us, as we read in 2 Timothy 1 verse 9, where it says, who hath saved us, speaking of Christ, and called us, speaking of Christ, with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You see, all who are justified by Christ's blood are called. Every single one of God's chosen sinners are called out of darkness. When the Lord comes into the hearts of one of his people, he shines his light and calls us out of that darkness. And all who are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Christ are called of God by the Holy Spirit. Gospel preachers are called and sent forth by Christ, the Lord of harvest. Being called and sent forth by him, the fruit of their labors is sure. God's word proclaimed by them is triumphant over unclean spirits, and in the name of Christ, by the power of the gospel preached, diseases and sicknesses of immortal souls are healed. When the Lord sends one of his preachers to preach that wonderful gospel, that wonderful news, he opens the deaf ears through the preaching of his word. He unstops the closed mouth. He gives a new heart to the soul. Notice that one of the chosen apostles was a devil. Did you notice that? The scriptures do not hide. They're very clear about it, aren't they? It's not some little secret off over here that one of God's preachers was a devil himself. They do not hide the fact that Judas was among the original 12. What can we learn from this? We must never forget it. This fact is prominently displayed by the Word of God to teach us never, ever pin our faith on the sleeve of a man. I want you to think about that. I want that to resonate in you. I've seen people who have sat in this very church, in these very pews, and they've set a man up on a pedestal. Don't take me wrong, I love Pastor Gene with all my heart. I can't wait to embrace him again, but he's just a man. Sometimes we forget that. And we do the same thing to our parents, don't we? How many of you have placed your mother on a pedestal way up here? Catholics, how many Catholics today in today's world have placed the mother of Christ on a pedestal so high that they bow down to it? It's our nature. But we're talking about just men and women, saved by grace just as we are. Lord, help us not to do that. Help us to remember that Judas Iscariot was just right along with the 12 apostles. Never take the man's word for it that stands before you. Look into Scripture, like Brother Roger has his Bible open right here, checking Scripture. Is this what John's talking about? Is this what Pastor Gene's talking about? Is this what Don Fortner is talking about? Absolutely. Let the Spirit speak to you through his word, even though a man may be speaking in guidance before you. This fact must be prominently displayed in the Word of God to teach us that never to pin our faith on the sleeve of a man. For not all preachers are believers. Even those who preach the truth are not all genuine Christians. Yet the fact that one preacher is a devil is no indication that all are. Faithful gospel preachers are to be followed and obeyed, yes. Yet we must follow them only as they follow Christ. May I remind you of a man who preached Christ. for several years, so much so, preaching the truth of the gospel that even Don Fortner thought he was a man of God and sent him to San Diego to be their pastor. And he preached before those people for many years, or not many years, but at least a couple years, I believe, about almost a year, before he started preaching about something called flat earth, a ridiculous concept. And I'm not trying to hold him out there and point my finger at him. I'm trying to make a point of why we need to be very careful about who it is. You don't know what I'm going to turn to. God could turn my heart just like he did that man. You need to watch what I'm saying all the time to be sure that it's true in Scripture. We can't trust the flesh, even the flesh of others. Especially our own flesh, but even the flesh of others. We must follow them only as they follow Christ. These 12 men are called and commissioned by Christ to do the very great work. And when he had called unto his 12 disciples, as we read in Matthew 10:1, and he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease, he sent them forth saying, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Why? Freely ye have received, freely give. My best message to anyone that God could stand and bring into this building is this. My Lord saved me. My sovereign God brought me and saved me by his power, by his will, by his might, by him. That's the message following Christ. The purpose of the gospel ministry in healing the men's souls and the design of the gospel is to conquer the world, to conquer flesh, to conquer the devil. Christ gave these men power to cast out demons out of the men's bodies to show that Christ has come to destroy the power of Satan and his works. He gave them power to heal all manner of sickness and disease to show that none are beyond the reach of God's omnipotent grace, because the blood of Christ effectually cleanses his chosen children from all their sin. The miracles that were performed by Moses, who represented the law, were for destruction and judgment. But these miracles that the apostles were all wrought for comfort. They were brought for edification. They were brought to give life. Moses brought judgment. Thou shalt not kill, or thou shalt surely die. Thou shalt not do this, or thou shalt surely die. Notice the change in the message. Peter was a grown man, a Jew. Surely he had been to the synagogue and heard. Surely he followed the ways of the Jews of Israel. And here, Peter is learning mercy and grace and the healing of the sick, the miracles of love, the miracles of mercy. These miracles were an affirmation of Christ as the Messiah and these men his messengers. Now that we have the full revelation of God in Holy Scripture, God's servants need no miraculous signs to confirm their message. We do have a miraculous sign. It's right here in God's Word. All these men who stand before people and say, oh, come on up here, let me put my hands on you. I can heal you. I can heal you. We all know that's a bunch of, well, you know. Right?
Yes, right?
The miracles are performed by our Lord. Preaching his gospel. Sharing with our loved ones. This is the miracle. I saw that miracle. I've seen it one time. When the Lord saved my wife. It brings a tear to my eye because what grace and what mercy happened that very day when the Lord broke through that heart that she had that said, I will not have Jesus rule over me. And she turned from that heart because the new heart said, I believe. What a miracle, huh? Miracles still happen, signs still happen, but it happens in God's word, not through men. The miracles of that day were an affirmation of Christ the Messiah and these men, his messengers. With the full revelation of God through the Holy Scriptures, God's servants need no miraculous signs to confirm their message. Faithful men do not come with a new word, a new revelation, one that's a new story from God, but simply declare the revelation of God in Holy Scriptures and Holy Scriptures alone. That which is perfect has come. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Those who pretend to work miracles and speak in tongues and have a word of prophecy or revelation from God, what they are saying is that Christ is not enough. They're saying that the very Christ in these scriptures is not enough for you. Here, let me show you something more. They're saying that the Bible is not enough. They're saying that salvation is not enough. The gospel is not enough. Scriptures tell us that the gospel is the power of God. He gave them that power to do the work that he sent him to do. The Lord Jesus Christ never called anyone to do anything without giving them the power to do it. Yeah, I can attest from that on a personal basis. I really had no thought that this was where I would be doing. Not only did the Lord know what I would be doing, he has given me everything since then to do it. Truly, truly, he has. Many a times I've come before you not knowing what to say, not knowing what to look at. And the Lord will give me exactly what he wants you to hear, sometimes without me even knowing it. So next, let us consider what this message was. What was their message? The message of these apostles. The message that these apostles were sent out to give. The things that Christ was teaching them. God's messengers, like these 12 apostles, are sent of God into this world to preach the gospel of his sovereign, saving grace in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the 7th verse we read, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This was the apostles' commission. They were to preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The near approach of Christ's kingdom, his work, and his salvation. God's messengers all have one message to declare that we have been sent of God to preach and to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's exactly what our Lord was teaching the apostles there that moment. He kept telling them, I will go to Jerusalem and I will die. And I will be beaten. And I will be scourged. How many times did the apostles turn to him and say, nay, Lord, we won't let that happen. Peter did that once, and look, our Lord is he not teaching Peter? That's what we're looking at here, right? He turned to Peter and says, get thee behind me, devil. He called Peter himself a devil. Because Peter was trying to rebuke God Almighty. Oh, we try to do that all the time, don't we? No, Lord, I want to do it this way. The Lord shows us, no, that's not the way I want you to do it. Let every man sent of God preach the gospel of Christ and be ever mindful that he is to be turned aside to no other message. It doesn't matter what Satan gets you off on. If he gets you off Christ, he has won the day. You see, our message is not prophecy. It's not morality. It's not politics. It's not home. It's not any other matter. Jesus Christ and him crucified, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then in verse 11 we read, and into whosoever city or town that you shall enter, inquire who it is that's worthy, and there abide till you go thence. You see, the word worthy here obviously refers to a hospitable people, those who are willing to receive God's messengers. God's servants are not to be difficult, they're not to be demanding, but content with such things as gracious people are able and willing to provide for them. Charles Spurgeon wrote this. He said, "There abide." He wrote, "Keep to those good people with whom your mission begins. It may be that richer people will turn up, but never forget that the worthy men and women who first entertained you." Never forget those who support you, even in the smallest ways. Not many rich, not many power. Sometimes a few, but not many. Then in verse 12 we read, and you came into our house and saluted it. And when you come into a house, salute it. The presence of God's servants in a home ought to be a great blessing to the household. We should never enter a home without desiring to be a blessing to it. When we leave it, the family ought to be better off because of our influence. And that is true with regard to all of God's people. How much more God's servants ought to seek grace and to be a blessing to others wherever they go. Did we not receive grace from our Lord? This is the same reason why we give, why we're forgiving of people, is it not? Have you ever thought about somebody who's offended you and then all of a sudden the Lord brought upon your mind, "Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I forgave you." You ever had that thought go through your mind? And then you turn to that person, you know, and you may not say it, but you think it. "Oh, I'm so sorry for what I just thought. My Lord was so much more gracious to me. At least I can do is be gracious to you." And in verse 13, "And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. Wherever we go, we ought to think well of men until their conduct forces us to do otherwise. When we enter a home, let us enter it determined to bring good to the house. And if the blessing we bring by the gospel is despised, all right, let's not be discouraged about it." See, in verse 14, "And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart of the house or a city, shake off the dust of your feet." This is not to be viewed as a matter of spite or mean-spirited retaliation or even a physical act to be performed. Our Lord is simply telling us that when people refuse the gospel that we preach, we're to leave them alone. Don't argue with them about it. I have so many free will Christian men who work in my workplace that when I declare that my God is sovereign ruler of all things, including man's will, they'll come back and want to argue with me about it. I'm not going to argue with you. That's what the Bible says. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And I'll walk away from it. That's what that's saying. Shake the dust off. Don't worry about it. Convincing men of the gospel is not your and my job. We just declare it. That's it. We're not going to argue about it. We're not going to fight about it. And then in verse 15, and we'll close with this. Remember, our Lord is teaching his apostles. "Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Speaking of those that we've just walked away from. Those that we've shared our experience with. Here our Savior shows us that it is a very dangerous thing to despise and reject the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace. You see, the Lord Jesus sends forth his royal ambassadors to call sinners to repentance, calling for rebels to bow to him, to bow to Jesus as Lord and King. But though for those who will not bow to him, who will not receive his gospel, nothing but judgments awaits them. In the day of judgment, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for those who hear but will not believe the gospel. What solemn words of warning this is. The preaching of the gospel is to all who hear it either a savior of life unto life, or it's a savior of death unto death. It's a two-edged sword. May our God use us in any way that he is pleased to do so in spreading his word. Amen.